welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
Welcome. Before we start, can we just close our eyes and just pray? Father, we just want to thank you for this amazing afternoon, Father. Father, thank you that we can come and spend time in your presence, Father. Come and listen to what is on your heart, Father. And Father, we just give this service to you, Father. And we say, have your way, Father. Father, you are the guest of honor, Father. Have your way in this place, Father. We are here because we desire to hear your voice, Father. We desire to learn more from you, Father. And Father, thank you that we can just come into your presence, Father. Amen. As always, I'm really excited about the word that I'm bringing this afternoon. It's something that's been milling over in my mind for about 3-4 weeks already. And you know the people that stand up here and preach? You know that we're not perfect? You know, Philip, me, Heinrich, whoever preaches, you know, we struggle with stuff as well. And, you know, while I was struggling with stuff, God just came and just spoke to me. Now, just so that you know, that Dion was in America during the week, so I did not speak to him. I did not tell him what he must do the offering about. But he already started preaching the sermon. But that is the God we serve, you know. He knows exactly what's going on, and he's never confused. Can I continue? So I want to start with the first scripture. As you can see, the title of the sermon, set your mind on things above. Focus on the things that is on God's heart, that is on God's mind. But let's read from John 9, from verse 4 to 5. I must work the works of him who sent me, while it is still day. The night is coming when no man can work. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of this world. Jesus said that he must work the works of him who sent me. Do you know that that is also our calling? We must do the work of God. We must do the things that God lays upon our hearts. But in the world that we live in, it's really, really complicated. You know, you're getting bombarded from every side, you know, from the media that's telling you this is what you should live for, and this is where you should stay, and this is what you should eat, and this is what you should drive. You know, now, how does a Christian stay a Christian? How does a Christian stay different than the world? As I say, you know, we are not supposed to look like everybody else. We are not supposed to act like everybody else. You know, in your neighborhood, everybody should know where the Christian stays, where everybody will run to when there's a crisis, where everybody will run to when there's a prayer request or somebody is sick. We shouldn't be like everybody else, but the sad case is many of the times we are. We are exactly like our neighbors. We are exactly like the person in the office next to us. Many times it feels like the world is contaminating us. But you know that there's actually a couple of stuff that we can do to prevent that. But let's go to the next scripture, Romans 12, verse 1 to 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, when a Christian walks down the road, everybody's supposed to know that that is a Christian. Everybody's supposed to know that we don't think like the world. We don't make decisions according to what the world makes decisions about. Not everything for us is about finances, or not everything for us is about our own comfort. Not everything we do, you know, is to benefit ourselves. That is the way the world thinks. That is the way the world acts. But we are supposed to be different. Now, it's great to know that, but how do we actually do it? How do we actually live differently? How do we actually look differently? I found an answer in Proverbs 4. Is this mic good for everybody, or is it only me that's hearing all the echoes? Is it fine? There's lots of echoes in my ear, but it's fine, as long as it's not in yours. As I said, the answer is in Proverbs 4, or part of the answer. We read from verse 23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. Verse 25. Let your eyes look straight ahead, and let your eyelids look right before you. Ponder on the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. This just comes down to taking responsibility. It doesn't say, ask God to take control of your heart. Ask God to take control of your eyes. No, it says, keep your heart. We are supposed to take responsibility for our heart. We're supposed to take responsibility for what's going on here. You know, what is the stuff you really allow in your heart? There's a great saying, I couldn't get the original guy who said it first. But it simply states that your dreams determines whether you are loyal, whether you're lovely, or whether you're evil. You know, what goes on in your heart determines whether you are loyal or whether you're evil. And also in the next verse, verse 24, it simply says, you know, perverse lips, put them away from you. Not ask God, but we must take responsibility for our lips. We must take responsibility for what comes out of our lips. The same one in the next verse. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Guys, I don't know about you, but man, everywhere I turn, there's an opportunity to sin. Everywhere we look, there's billboards, there is glossy magazines, there are on the internet, wherever we look, there's opportunity. But we need to make this decision, even before we come to the temptation, that we're going to look away. We're not going to allow that image for a second. And it is not just, you know, as I say, it's not just for guys. You know, I know a lot of ladies that loves horror movies. You know, what you allow through your eyes will come in and take hold in your heart. The next one was 26, about pondering on the path of your feet. What do you allow your head to think about? What do you allow your head to harak over, to ponder on? Is that godly stuff, or is it, you know, just about, many times we just get in this rut just about surviving. You know, man, if I can just get through this day, okay, I still need to do this, still need to do that, and still need to get to that person. If I can just get through this day. You know, if the devil can't make you sin, he will keep you busy. Because that's also sinning, not doing God's work, not doing what God called us to do. So, there's four steps. Well, I've got four steps. Keeping your heart, keeping pure lips, guarding your eyes, and the ponderings of our mind. If we focus on these four, taking responsibility for these four, we will go already a far way. But let's take them one by one and actually think through them. So I want to read you Matthew 6 from verse 19 to 21. It says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroys, where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there also your heart will be. If you think for a second just about, you know, what is the treasure you hold dear? What is the thing that you hold dear that, you know, is it the desire for the car or the desire for the game farm one day? What is the stuff that you dream about? When last have you ever just sat down and actually think of heaven, you know, what heaven is going to be like? Allow yourself to dream about, you know, the golden streets and the, when I think of heaven, I imagine that heaven smells like a orange grove, you know, that sweet white flowers, the scent of that. When I think of heaven, I imagine heaven is a cool 26, 27 degrees, not like 30 that's up here right now. But have you ever thought of heaven? You know, ever allowed yourself to dream about heaven? What's heaven going to sound like? Hey, you know, the angels playing on their violins or whatever. Do we allow ourselves to dream about that? Or do we only allow ourselves to dream about earthly stuff? You know, do you allow yourself to dream about spending eternity with Christ? No more death, no more rejection, no more pain, no more diseases. No more goodbyes and farewells, you know? Do you allow yourself to dream about that, or do you only allow yourself to dream about the next car, or the next house, or the next job, or the next girl, or the next guy? If we're so busy allowing our hearts to dream about earthly stuff, why don't we allow our hearts to actually dream about the important stuff? Dream about heaven. If you ask any successful athlete, Kurt there in the back, if you're an athlete, what is the thing you keep your eye on? You know, you don't dream about the paycheck coming in. You don't dream about the celebrity that you know, becoming a celebrity. You actually dream about that medal. You actually meditate, think about, imagine yourself standing on that podium and, you know, the handshake and getting the medal, or, you know, getting that world trophy. Any successful athlete will tell you they keep their eye on the ball. They keep their eye on what is really important. Now, why do we as Christians not do that? Why do we not imagine heaven? Why do we not imagine eternity with Christ? Why do we dream about cars and stuff that rusts and falls away? The tongue. Now, I've been married for almost 6 years, and the tongue can get you in so much trouble. You know, it's not about what you do. It's not about what you don't do. Most of the time, it's about what you say or what you don't say. You know, your lips and your tongue, man, it's got such power. I heard about an interview that was done with Oprah. And they asked her, what is your success? You know, what do you describe your success to? And she simply said, her father told her that she can do anything. Her father told her that she can take over the world. By that stirring up, by that building up, she grabbed that and she just ran with it. And just look where she is. Now, she's not a good biblical example, but it's just, you know, we can really do so much good with our tongue, and we can do so bad with it as well. Let's see what the Bible says. Psalm 34 from verse 12. Who is the man who loves, who is the man who desires life and loves many days, that he might see good? Verse 13, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Once again, keep your tongue from evil. We have to keep our tongue from evil. If you really want to tick me off, you know, come to me and start gossiping. I hate people that gossip. You know, but now, you know, Christians come to me and tell me that, you know, this brother of ours, he's doing this and this and this, and you need to keep an eye on it. But there's no way, let's pray for him. You know, it's always just a, let me bring you the story and then we leave it there. I hate that. And if I read the Bible, God hates that as well. To put evil far from you means not to gossip. It means not to speak perverse things. You know, to build up, not to break down. How do we use our lips wisely? In Psalm 37, verse 30, read, the mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom, and his tongue talks of justice. Is that what comes out of your mouth? Wisdom and justice. You know, when the boss comes to you and tells you, listen here, you and somebody else is in competition to the next promotion. What do you think of that person? Do you actually speak the truth and say, no, man, this person is great? Or do you actually turn around and say, no, but I'm much better. You know, this guy that's in the competition with me to get the promotion, he's just really bad, and you just break down. You know, what is in your heart? Have you actually made the decision to put perverse lips, to put wicked lips far from you? Not to even entertain the thoughts of speaking negatively. You know, on the farm, we've got a little sower. You know, you actually put it around your shoulders, and it has about a 20-liter bag that you fill with grass seed. Now, in that sower, it's got a little gear system and a little lever that you turn, and there's all these blades. Now, the blades has an edge and a little lip, so the seed will fall in there, and as you turn, it will just release the seed. And that's about a 5-6-meter area. As you turn, you just sow. Now, the tongue is like that little sower. If you sow truth, if you sow righteousness and justice, that is what you will reap. But if you put in, you know, seeds of wheat in there and you sow, what are you going to get? Wheat. So the same is with our tongue. If we sow death, we will reap death. The Bible says in Psalm 18, verse 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. Do you love to stir with your tongue? Because that is what you will reap. Do you love to edify, build up with your tongue? That is what you will reap. You know, my wife's got the great ability to, you know, just to build me up. I won't do anything, but she'll get 20 reasons to compliment me on. You know, I'm not that way. I still need to get there. But you just get people that does it naturally. You know, I believe that they are so close to God's heart because that is the God we serve. Yes, you have your sins, but God, when God comes to you, He will tell you all about the things you do right. You know, He sees your heart. He sees what you've did there. He sees what you've done there. Now, focus on this little thing. That is the God we serve, and that should become us. That's the way we should approach people. Tell them about all the good instead of constantly reminding them of all the evil. Now, the next one is the eye. Matthew 6, verse 22. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore the eye is good, the whole body will be full of light. But if the eye is bad, the whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? As I said earlier, guys, if you love horror movies and that's all you watch, do you know what? You're feeding your body with that, so what will be in you? Just a whole bunch of horror movies. It will slowly start to poison you. And guys, just for a second, pornography. You know, churches in America say that pretty much half, 47% of people coming to church says that pornography is a major problem. I don't think South Africa is that different. And it's not just guys, it's women as well. But if you let that in through your eyes, that is what your heart will become full of, and that is what who you will become. Pornography is like a drug. You know, if you get hooked on drugs, today half a tablet will be enough. In 2 weeks' time, one tablet will be enough. In a month's time, five tablets will be enough. And it's the same with pornography. You become addicted to it. You know, and as you go, the volume grows. So I really want to encourage you guys that if somebody here, I know there's people here that struggle with pornography. Don't go out of this church tonight without coming and speaking to God about it. It is really something that will destroy your life. I had a close friend that was in church with us 9 years ago. And he got hooked on the stuff. Pornography led to the fact that he lost his job. Pornography led to the fact that he lost his wife. Pornography led to the fact that he lost all his friends. I saw him about 2-3 years ago. Accidentally bumped into him at Centurion Mall, and you know, he was normally built, not like me, but skinnier. But when I bumped into him, he literally looked like a skeleton. It is something that eats you up. What we allow through our eyes is who we will become. What we allow I'm not talking about we just glanced at something and immediately made the decision to look away. I'm talking about something that we allow to think upon, actually allow ourselves to focus on. David says it beautifully in Psalm 101 from verse 3. I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. A perverse heart shall depart from me, and I will know no evil. David speaks about he will set no wicked thing before his eyes. And just in the verse after, a perverse heart shall go from him. We need to guard what comes into our eyes so we can guard our hearts. And the same is with watching horror movies. Or watching all these perverse comedy shows. What you allow in is what's going to be in. If you take a little bottle of shampoo and you put in, you know, hair removal stuff in there, doesn't matter how you label it or how you market it, it's not going to clean your hair, it's going to remove your hair. We need to be so careful of what we allow in, because that is what's going to be in us. The mind. In Philippians 4, verse 8, Paul writes, "Finally, my brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is any praiseworthiness, meditate on these things." Do we only keep ourselves, our minds, busy with pure stuff? Stuff that's noble, justice, just, pure, lovely, of a good report, that has virtue or is praiseworthy? No, we don't. You know, sometimes we become like these soapies that have all these schemes. You know, how am I going to steal that girl away from her boyfriend so that I can get her? Or how can I save up more money or spend more overtime or actually convince the company that I worked for that I've actually driven 10,000 Ks when I've driven 1,000 Ks? You know, if we're honest with ourselves, sometimes we have these schemes in our minds. You know, we see this thing that we want, you know, the Nissan Duke or whatever we desire, and we go full out for that. But the truth is, that is not what's going to satisfy you. That is not what's going to fill you up. That is not what's going to actually make you feel like you've arrived. The hole will only feel bigger. The hole will only feel deeper. Colossians 3 from verse 1. Since you've been raised with Christ, set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above and not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Paul says that we need to put our minds on the things above and not on earthly things. Focus on the things that is on God's heart, and not focus on the things that we want, we desire, we think we can do without, cannot do without. And as I say, we just get it everywhere. Whether you're reading the car magazine or whether you listen to radio, but we need to make the decision before the temptation comes. We need to make the decision before the desire comes, that we're already going to take control of our hearts, already going to take control of our eyes, of our lips, of our minds. And we need to focus on the things above and not on earthly things. Now I've added another one that I struggle with. You know, it says in Romans 10, verse 17, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That is a very simple scripture that we all know about. But what is the stuff that you hear? What is the stuff you allow yourself to listen to? I'm a big 702 fan. They really have amazing guests, and the topics they speak about is really interesting. But every now and again, they've got something called an open line, when people can literally phone in. It's just become a moan session. You know, everybody will phone in and say, "Oh, our country's finances is in the dumps," or, you know, "local government is corrupt," or, you know, "provincial government is corrupt," or whatever. It's literally just become a complaint line. And if you listen to that for a week, suddenly, you know, things around you start to get really negative. You start to see the bad stuff instead of the good stuff. And that's why I've added this one, that we need to guard our ears. We need to be very careful. As the word said, faith comes by hearing. What do you hear? Do you hear God's voice? Because then your faith is going to to rise. But do you hear the complaint session on 702? Because then your faith is going to drop. Because then your faith will be in a corrupt, you know, believing that the government is corrupt, or believing that, you know, there's just no hope for the world's finance system, or, you know, whatever. We need to be careful of what we allow our ears to hear. My father is very, very negative at the moment. He goes through a bit of a dip, and everything he says is negative. And if I spend time in his presence, I realize that I become negative as well. And if you stand up next to the Brian, you know, you have a discussion, everything that comes out of his mouth is negative. And about 3 or 4 hours later, Jacqueline will look at me strange, and then I realize I've been saying a whole lot of negative stuff as well. But praise God, he's still God and still in control. Now, I'm not saying pull away from this world, because we need to, as we earlier read, we cannot allow ourselves to be conformed to this world. We need to be transformed and then pull the world up with us. We are in this world to make a difference. So we can't go lock ourselves up and throw the TV out and throw the radio out. It's maybe not a bad idea, but we can't lock the world out completely. We are still in this world. And we need to be make a difference in this world. If you read Ecclesiastes 5, Romans 18 to 19, it actually says that it is good for a man to enjoy the labors of his hands. It is good for a man to enjoy, you know, to eat and to drink, to enjoy the fruit of his hands. The Bible says it is good. So I'm not saying it's not good. It's good. But that shouldn't become a focus. That shouldn't be the whole thing we live for. That shouldn't be everything we aspire to. Yes, we're in this world. Yes, we're allowed to enjoy this world. If you have the money, go buy yourself the Nissan Duke. I don't, so I'll be settling with my Ford Icon. But okay, now, it's very easy to see, okay, that is the problem. But how do we address the problem? How do we not allow ourselves to be intimidated by this world, or be convinced by this world that, you know, the job you have that actually has an impact in people's lives, you're wasting your time. You need to get a job that actually has an impact on your bank account. How do we do it? 2 Corinthians 7, verse 14. Can I ask the band to come up, please? If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive them their sins and heal their land. You know, the moment we humble ourselves, the moment we repent and turn away from the junk in our lives, we open the door widely for God to come and intervene on our behalf. We open the door widely so that God can actually come in and help us to overcome. You know, the moment we acknowledge, we humble ourselves and say, God, I struggle with the junk that's going on in my heart. I struggle with the constant stuff that comes out of my mouth. I struggle with the pornography or the horror movies or the whatever I set before my eyes. Or I struggle about just constantly thinking of surviving and not living a full life for you. The moment we acknowledge that we are weak, God comes in with His grace, His overcoming power. He strengthens us, and He allows us to actually stand. He allows us to overcome. Can I just ask that we all stand again? The worship team is just going to lead us into that last song again, You Alone Are God.
Listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church, we believe that it was time well spent establishing God's kingdom and proclaiming His glory in your life. For more information, call us on 012-362-1363 or email us at pretoria@shofaronline.org. You may also wish to browse our website at www.shofaronline.org or find us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.